Now, I don't know if any of you noticed or not, but there's been a lot of politics in the conversations around our country and around the world. So maybe you've heard about that. I don't know. But you're going to continue to hear about it up till the election and probably afterwards. It seems to become a normal part of our society. But each candidate running for whatever office they're running for wants to convince you that you should believe in their position, support their causes, but most of all believe that he or she can do the job better than anybody else. But it's our job to look at the evidence. All these things that are going on, even with the things that are currently going on, we need to do our own research. We need to not to believe the talking heads and all that stuff. And if you really want to know, you can, with the internet, thank God, you can find out more than you ever wanted to know and then some. But don't necessarily just go along with the mob, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Do your own research. Try to understand what's going on so that you, because you're the only one that can make decisions about how you want this country to be, how you want to vote. Nobody else can. They will try to coerce you sometimes into thinking their way, but it's our responsibility to check it out. Because the facts, as we know them, have really necessarily not been really good. We really don't know about the experience sometimes. We look into their job history. If we want to hire somebody, one of the things that you do when you hire, you look at the person applying for their job history. See what kind of person that they were. Examine their character and come to the conclusion whether or not you want to believe what the person is saying and can do the job they say they can do. Whether that person is being authentic and telling you the truth. Sometimes they're the only ones that know. But I like what J.C. Watts said about character. He said, the character is what you do when nobody's looking. And that is so true. So if the candidate today is telling you what to think and what to hear, and you can trust me and all that, politics makes that kind of discernment very hard, and very hard indeed. It makes belief, as the Bible's talking about, more complicated than just simply taking words at face value. There's a good rule of thumb, though. Listen to the words, but look at the actions. I like what John Wesley said. When John Wesley set up the thing, like we call it PPR, staff parish, and all that stuff now, and when we're interviewing candidates for ministry, the Board of Ordained Ministry always start with this. Do they have any fruit? And, of course, he's referring to the fruits of the Spirit. That was always a general rule, as Wesley said. Is there any fruit? Is there proof in the pudding, basically? Is there these people, do they follow through? Are they consistent with their character and their works? Or is it just a bunch of politics and rhetoric that they bring to the table? What do we believe? Well, it's not simple. And I'm not saying it is. And I run into all these same challenges. I get so confused anymore about who to believe, what to believe, even with the COVID thing. There's so many this and that. And, you know, what this doctor says that doctor says this. I get, but there's two types of belief here that we're talking about that's in the scriptures. On one hand, do you believe what he or she is telling you and flat out? Or do you believe that what is coming out of the mouth of a given person or a candidate is the truth? Or truth for you? On the other hand, do you believe the candidate or the person? In other words, do you trust him or her to do a good job, follow through to support what is promised, and to fulfill the role if elected or hired? To be the person that he or she projected during the campaign or the time to come to you and ask for a job. Whether or not you believe is based on both the head and heart. In fact, it's the heart is the only thing that you can really trust. And only when you put your trust into someone can you say truly, come on board and invest yourself in heart and soul in supporting or following the candidate. Faith is like that too, especially within the church. Now I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ, not necessarily just Bethel, although Bethel is part of the larger church. Faith within the church, especially when it's a faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're all about. We're all about faith in Jesus Christ. That's what's so important. True faith is what we talk about in the church, and we hold it as a basis as our Christian life for personally and also for the corporate church. Belief, though, that is true faith, however, is really tricky, especially for Christians. You can believe that something happened, but you may be divided on how it happened if you didn't see it. You can believe that someone is the president of a company or a CEO, a person that holds that position, but if you don't believe in that person or president or CEO, that is that you don't believe he or she has the know-how or the power or the authority to behave as such, to do the kind of job that is required. You won't respect that person to be either the president or the CEO, and even when it comes down to pastoral ministry. But likewise, you can believe that Jesus existed, that he lived, that he died, and he challenged the powers of his day, that he was a teacher and a rabbi. But if you don't know in your heart that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, sitting at the right hand of the Father with the power and the authority of God, because him and God are one, then you don't truly believe in Jesus. And you certainly then won't trust him with your heart and soul or believe that he can change your life. I like that song that Ray Bolt sang a long time ago. I liked it so much I can't remember it. Give it to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Early on in my walk with the Lord in a different direction than I was going in a long time, I always loved that song every time I heard it. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Yeah, thank you. Because I was a life that was changed. You know why I was a life that was changed? Somebody ministered to me. Somebody helped me. And then I made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. So every time that you come to church, you join with us, all of us, in the creed. The creed that affirms what we say and what we believe. But part of that creed affirms that Jesus is the Son of God who died, was resurrected for the salvation of the world. The question is, though, do you believe in the power and the authority of Christ in your heart is where it counts. Have you seen proof in your life because of what you believe in your heart about Christ? And you think, well, wait a minute, preacher, why do I even question that? Because faith, true faith, is very, very hard. And because if every Christian who says they believe in Jesus actually believed in the power and the authority of Christ, we would have bigger and more vital churches. We would have more joy and love and grace and zeal for sharing the gospel. I don't know who wouldn't want to be a part of something like that. I'm grateful to be a part of it. And I search out that kind of joy. I search out that kind of vitality because I want to be around people who also believe and trust in the Lord. Trust and obey, as that one hymn says. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. So who wouldn't be shouting for joy every day about Christ and the phenomenal gift that he's given to us, eternal life? Who wouldn't want to share that with every person that we run into, every person that we care about, family and friends? I don't know. Why wouldn't we? Well, the reality is that our churches, and I'm including churches, the gathering, the ecclesiastical, the gathering of the people, are filled with agnostics, people who believe with their minds but have neglected to believe in their hearts. The longest 12 inches in the world is from head to heart. That have neglected to believe in their hearts, to trust their lives, and more importantly, soul. to the personhood and the authority of Jesus Christ. The scripture that I read this morning, Jesus calls his colleagues, the priests and the elders, on this very issue. And as the priests and the elders get political, they try to determine what is right or what is helpful. How am I going to answer this? They want to be able to answer it the way they think Jesus wants to hear. They undermine their own authority as those in the know, and they reveal the weakness of their faith. But Jesus knows. You know, he created us. He knows everything about us. As I said many times, the devil can play tricks on your mind, but he cannot read your mind. God knows everything about you. He knows even what you're thinking before you think it. That's the way he made us, and that's why we can have a relationship with him, and we have to trust. But those that Jesus was talking to did not believe. In fact, they didn't know much about what they did believe, if they believed anything, because they are spending their time trying to search for the convenient, political, advantageous answer that will keep their own authority and allow them to undermine Jesus' ministry. Jesus, however, turns the table on them by throwing a question back at them, and that will test their true faith. He said, did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it a human origin? And when they fumbled for the answer, they revealed their wishy-washy state of their faith and their right to temple authority. I told you Jesus was tricky. You know, if you ever study how he taught, he always taught with a question and he answered with a question. A good lawyer, a good judge, an investigator, anybody, they won't ever ask you a question unless they already know the answer. And Jesus is the same way. And he goes further. He tells them that it's okay to get it wrong, to doubt, to hesitate, even falter in the end. You put your trust in him. But if your faith rides along only on the words that you recite, the creeds that you repeat, the mere words of your promise, but don't feel in your heart, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, we are humans, we're emotional, but we're also spiritual. And yes, last week when Phil played the shofar, I ain't kidding you, I had holy bumps from the top of my head to the tip of my toes. And it was just like, wow, thank you, Lord. And then at the end of the service, when he bloated again when we left, it was the same way. It wasn't an emotion. It was a spiritual blessing that I received, that is this particular time of the year when the Jewish people, which were all part of the Judeo-Christian ethics, that's our country was founded on it, and we celebrating something that's been around forever and ever since the creation of the human race. But you got to feel it in your heart. Not an emotional thing, but a feeling in your heart. Or Jesus even said you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Because God knows our inner contents of our heart. He knows what we're going wrong. We know, and all we got to do is confess with our lips and believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and we'll be saved. Now that don't make us perfect. We will never be perfect, but we serve the one who is perfect. But the good news for all of us in the church, especially at Bethel, who are still faltering somewhere between trust and agnosticism, God will always accept those who turn to Christ and bid them to come in. Come unto me, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. God will always celebrate a new believer. The Bible says that the angels in heaven celebrate every time a person accepts Christ into their lives. So if the angels in heaven will celebrate, we ought to be happy to celebrate when one of our friends or our family members or somebody that comes to know the saving grace of Christ. God will always celebrate a new believer, even if that believer's been in the churchgoer for 40 years but never really ever made that decision. We'd get to be an agnostic. Well, we really don't know this or that. And I can assure you, once you get that affirmation in your heart, you know that you know that you know that Jesus is Lord, and the stuff that he is promising to us will really happen, and it's really true.